From WBUR Boston, I'm Tom Ashbrook, and this is On Point. There were issues aplenty, from Iran to Social Security to immigration and taxes, but the big target at the Democrats' presidential debate in Philadelphia last night was frontrunner Hillary Clinton herself. Under fire from all sides, Senator Barack Obama charged Hillary Clinton changes positions whenever it's politically convenient and isn't straightforward.
I was confused on Senator Clinton's answer. I can't tell whether she was for it or against it, and I do think that is important.
John Edwards took an even tougher line, calling Hillary the status quo candidate.
Senator Clinton says that she believes she can be the candidate for change, but she defends a broken system that's corrupt in Washington, D.C.
Hillary Clinton armored up and fought back.
That is what I have said consistently. And you know, when it comes to where I stand, I have been explaining that to the American people.
This hour on Point, the Democrats' frontrunner Hillary Clinton in the hot seat and the challengers, Obama, Edwards, and more, taking their shots. Joining me first today from Philadelphia is Julie Mason, national political correspondent for the Houston Chronicle. She covered the debate last night at Drexel University in Philadelphia. Julie, thanks very much for being here.
Hello, Tom.
So going away, was Hillary Clinton smiling when the thing was over? She sure took some knocks.
Man, they were all over her, but they didn't really rattle her until the very end. And that question about whether or not she supported Governor Spitzer's plan in New York to allow illegal immigrants to have driver's licenses.
Yeah, and she kind of did it this way and kind of did it that way and got called on it by Edwards, among others.
Oh, they were waiting to pounce. They jumped right on her and said that her waffling was indicative of the problem that she has, which is she can't be nailed down on a critical issue.
Let's just get the flavor of it in our ear if we can, Julie. Here's moderator Brian Williams opening straight up last night.
You gave an interview to the New York Times over the weekend, pledging in it to be more aggressive, to be tougher in your campaign against your chief rival for the nomination, the leader among Democrats so far, Senator Clinton, who is here next to you tonight. To that end, Senator, you said that Senator Clinton was trying to sound Republican, trying to vote Republican on national security issues, and that was, quote, bad for the country and ultimately bad for the Democrats. That is a strong charge, as you're aware. Specifically, what are the issues where you, Senator Obama, and Senator Clinton have differed, where you think she has sounded or voted like a Republican?
And so it began there with Brian Williams putting the first question to Senator Barack Obama. He had said before the debate, Julie, that he was going to come out swinging here. He was going to be tougher because he needed to be, and it was time. Did he deliver on that promise?
No, not really. He came out after all that and said that the conflict between the two of them had been so overhyped that it was the biggest hype since Rocky fought Apollo Creed.
Yeah.
A Philadelphia reference, perhaps. But he couldn't really pull it off. I mean, he took his shots at her, but if his goal was to change the dynamic of the race, he didn't pull that off.
What was the heart of the criticism that the Democrats who were leveling, and Obama did some, and Edwards did more, and Dodd was in there, and he wasn't the only one.
Mm-hmm.
What was the heart of it? How would you describe it?
You mean against Hillary Clinton?
Against Hillary.
Well, it was all over the map. I mean, Obama was going after her for her apparent unwillingness to open her personal records at the National Archives. And that's kind of an obscure issue, but generally they were going after her for her vote in support of the resolution on Iran recently in the Senate, telling her that she basically gave a blank check to Bush and Cheney. She didn't like that. And you know, it was Iran. It was everything. It was her vote on Iraq. It was just everything. Her statements. It was all over the map. But nothing really. She didn't really get rattled. You know, she got a little strident. And now I sound like a theater critic, but she sounded a little strident. But they didn't get her off her game. Edwards really did all the heavy lifting for Obama.
And the heart of his critique.
The heart of his critique was that she is playing into the Republicans' hands, that she's too hawkish, that she sounds like a Republican, she's acting like a Republican, and also that she is the status quo, that she is that she's too partial to lobbyists and special interests, that's kind of a tough road for Edwards because he is a rich trial lawyer, so he's not, when he tries to strike these populist notes, it comes off a little false, and a couple of them, Chris Dodd went after him for that and said, well, you know, you're not exactly on the high ground here. It was interesting. Bill Richardson was playing teacher's pet all night, which only increased speculation about whether he's actually running for vice president.
Saying, hey, wait a minute, let's lay off, let's not get personal
exactly.
on Hillary.
Let's keep this civil.
But it was a very different tone. I mean, here we are, the seventh debate, an unbelievable number already, but it really did have a different feeling to it. Does it look as though it may land any kind of blow that cracks Hillary's numbers, that opens up the issues and makes her explain them again in greater specificity?
No, I really don't. I mean, maybe in Iowa, where the race seems a little closer between Hillary and Obama, but she's so careful. She's such a careful politician that she doesn't make many mistakes. And so they can't bank on that, you know, and it just doesn't seem to be working. They're not cracking it. So I don't really see the race changing in dynamics anytime soon.
And in the sort of after conversation, when they sent the spinners out to talk to you and others, what were the camp saying last night?
Oh, they were saying, you know, what you'd expect. You know, my guy won. They were great. It was wonderful. Dennis Kucinich's wife was out there sort of defending his UFO sighting.
What was that again? They asked him if he'd seen it. What?
Shirley MacLaine has a new book coming out on Election Day in which she says that a number of years ago, Dennis Kucinich saw a UFO off of her balcony in Washington State. And Tim Russert asked him about it last night, because he hasn't responded to that claim so far. And so he said, yeah, he saw an unidentified flying object. He doesn't know what it is, what it was. But he said, you know, Jimmy Carter saw one, too. So.
Well, that was out there. But there was a lot of tension right over the heart of it last night. And Julie Mason, we appreciate your beginning to break it open for us. Thanks a lot for joining us.
Anytime, Tom.
Julie Mason, national political reporter for the Houston Chronicle. We've got a great panel today to put this whole race and the issues in perspective. From New York, Westchester County, New York, Joe Klein is here, political columnist for Time Magazine, author of Politics Lost and Primary Colors, a close, deep watcher of the campaign. Joe, good to have you here.
Great to be here, Tom.
With us from Philadelphia, Harold Jackson, editorial page editor for the Philadelphia Inquirer. He's a Pulitzer Prize winner, watching last night from the city of, well, last night, not so brotherly love. Harold, welcome to On Point.
Hi, Tom. Thank you.
And with us from Hanover, New Hampshire, On Point News analyst Jack Beattie, senior editor at the Atlantic Monthly Magazine. Jack, welcome.
Hello, Tom. Joe. Harold.
Joe Klein, first to you. We came into this yesterday thinking we were going to just be talking about Obama, you know, trying to kind of break out of this second, third place and break for the lead. But last night, the attacks on Hillary were so much the center of things. Is this just to be expected at this point? Is it a criticism that has legs? Do you think Hillary's got problems because her mates there are now turning on her?
Well, you know, I'm tempted to say let the games begin. Up until this point, the election has, and the election coverage has mostly been about us. You know, the insiders, the political junkies, the people who watch these sort of things carefully. You know, in the early states, Iowa, New Hampshire, you know, the majority of people haven't made up their minds yet. And I think that what last night signals is the beginning of the actual campaign. I think that all of the advice, the unsolicited advice, the unsolicited tactical advice, that was being directed at Obama, was first of all kind of foolish and second of all premature. I mean, he has, you know, there's plenty of time in this campaign for this campaign to evolve, and we're now going to see just how it's going to involve the the candidates are engaged now. Hillary Clinton has to defend her caution, and the others have to make their cases.
Obama set expectations high with his New York Times interview over the weekend, and Brian Williams teed right off of it, saying he was going to become more assertive in criticizing Hillary, but he looked uncomfortable there at the podium doing exactly that. You've been very critical, Joe, of the way Obama's race and his candidacy has been covered, but is he delivering his own message to best effect?
Well, first of all, I can't emphasize too much how absolutely banal and insipid and wrongheaded this assault on Obama for not attacking Hillary has been. You know, I've covered nine of these, and you know, attacking an opponent in a primary is usually a sign of two things. It's a sign of desperation. And it's a sign of having a death wish, because usually the people who do the attacking, you know, crash and burn. They may take the front runner with them, but they, you know, 4 years ago, John Kerry very wisely decided not to attack Howard Dean. Dick Gephardt attacked him. Furthermore, let me say this, that the ability to attack an opponent is not a very important quality in a president. The ability to defend yourself is an important quality. And, you know, when I watch Obama on the stump, he does display a very important presidential quality, which is the ability to tell people things that they need to hear as opposed to the things that they want to hear. Hmm. We in the press aren't covering that. We're covering this horse race nonsense. It really is embarrassing.
Harold Jackson, did you see last night a candidate in Barack Obama who was prepared to step up to the issues next to Hillary Clinton and, by force of his vision then, pull the spotlight away from her?
I did not. I think that Mr. Obama has been disappointing to this point in distinguishing himself from the other candidates. It's not a matter of whether he attacks Hillary or not. It's a matter of whether or not he can stand out. I think that in last night's debate, Mr. Edwards continually showed that he could distinguish himself as someone who is contrary to Hillary Clinton. I think Mr. Obama was not able to accomplish that because on each issue where he tried to point out differences, they were not that great. I think that he's failed so far to establish himself as the candidate who could be better than Hillary Clinton against a Republican opponent.
Jack Beatty, we'll hear from you after the break, but in a word, do you see something breaking in the campaign last night, something breaking open or not?
I think there's a moment here, and it remains to be seen which candidate can take advantage of it, but you can't say that Hillary is so inevitable as she was just 24 hours ago.
Talking this hour about Democratic presidential contenders going after Hillary, from Obama to Edwards to Dodd, how she's holding up and who wins if she doesn't. What's really at stake here? What's the heart of this tension? Is it just about posing for the polls, or is it about the deeper issues and who will do what? Joe Klein is here from Time Magazine, Harold Jackson from the Philadelphia Inquirer, and our own Jack Beatty. Let's listen to Senator Barack Obama right at the top of the debate last night after Brian Williams asked him, okay, what if you say you're going to come out and tell us what's going on with Hillary? Let's hear it.
It does not mean, I think, changing positions whenever it's politically convenient. And Senator Clinton, in her campaign, I think, has been for NAFTA previously. Now she's against it. She has taken one position on torture several months ago, and then most recently has taken a different position. She voted for a war to authorize sending troops into Iraq, and then later said this was a war for diplomacy. I don't think that it, now that may be politically savvy, but I don't think that it offers the clear contrast that we need.
Senator Hillary Clinton responded to Barack Obama's opening remarks by kind of pushing above the fray.
Well, I don't think the Republicans got the message that I'm voting and sounding like them. If you watch their debate last week, I seem to be the topic of great conversation and consternation, and that's for a reason, because I have stood against George Bush and his failed policies.
Joe Klein with Time Magazine, you say it's the home stretch to the primaries. Of course it's going to get tough. People expected attacks and kind of urged them on, and yet there was quite a lot of enthusiasm for that last night. But what's at the heart of it? Is there a fundamental kind of posture or view of the world or view of how the presidency should be handled that Hillary Clinton holds that is different from Barack Obama, John Edwards, let's say?
Well, I think that there's certainly a stylistic difference. And that is now going to be the central question of this campaign. And the stylistic difference is her tendency to lawyer questions rather than to actually answer them. I think on matters of substance, she and Obama are pretty close, with Edwards a little bit more to the left in a populist way. But she's had two basic problems in this campaign that have, you know, that haven't manifested themselves until last night. One is her essential caution at a moment when I think the public is ready for some real boldness. And the other is a lack of an overall theme to her campaign, a message. You know, her husband was always really excellent at coming up with the overall theme for a campaign. Mm. In 1992, he was a different kind of Democrat. In 1996, he was building a bridge to the 21st century. And as pedestrian as those things may sound, they actually gave him a frame, to operate within. She's just, she's, you know, she's just offering a restoration. And I think that's a problem.
John Edwards was putting big stuff on the table last night about honesty, about credibility, about being straightforward. Of course, he took some heat from Dodd on some of those fronts himself. He particularly went after Senator Clinton, as did others, on her recent vote to declare Iran, to urge the government to declare Iran's Revolutionary Guard a terrorist organization. Here's Edwards on Clinton.
Well, I just listened to what Senator Clinton said, and she said she wanted to maximize pressure on the Bush administration. So the way to do that is to vote yes on a resolution that looks like it was written literally by the neocons. I mean, has anyone read this thing? I mean, it literally gave Bush and Cheney exactly what they wanted.
Jack Beatty, how did you see the gap opening up here last night? Hillary Clinton kept her poise, I would say, pretty strongly throughout, but there was a fundamental critique going on here, and the charge, as I heard it, that she wasn't ready to deliver the change that Democrats say the country wants.
Yes, and, you know, and something very unusual happened last night. The candidates were talking in general terms about her propensity, as Edwards put it, for double talk. And then on the driver's license issue, the issue of giving illegal aliens driver's license raised by Governor Spitzer of New York, she validated Edwards' critique. She showed that she was a trimmer, uncandid, calculating, a stranger to straight talk. And I think that is, you know, in other words, people at home could be thinking, well, they're saying this about her. This is the construction they're putting on what she said. And then they saw it. They saw this exemplar right in front of them of someone havering and hawing, backing and filling. And I think that, you know, that's not what people think of as presidential leadership.
Harold Jackson, how do you see that? Hillary Clinton again and again last night kind of looking to be strong, to be the flag bearer, but at the same time, you could feel that kind of triangulation that her husband was so good at underway there. Does that work with Democrats in this election? Does it work in the general?
Well, yeah, that's the problem here for Hillary Clinton is that she actually has moved beyond the primary in many of her answers. Her answers are more complex because she's issuing them for a larger audience. The reason that she signed the Cal Lieberman resolution is because, again, she's trying to appeal to more than Democrats in doing that. But if you look at that resolution, it actually uses the word combat the influences of Iran in Iraq. Now, that's very dangerous. It doesn't say that where that combat will occur, and she actually signed that. It's very dangerous. On the immigration issue, again, it's a very complex issue, so she tried to give a complex answer. She did not give a direct answer that would appeal to Democrats who try to appease to people beyond the Democratic Party. And that's the problem she has right now, is that she's trying to move beyond the primary and appeal to general election voters, and it's going to cause her problems among the Democratic foe.
Joe Klein, who really wants boldness here? Is the Democratic primary voter really going to hold out for boldness? And what does that mean? Does it mean, you know, to show that you can be the kind of ironclad candidate, which Hillary looks pretty good at, or that you're going to be bold and visionary? And does Obama put making that case?
Well, you know what? When 70% of the public thinks the country is moving in the wrong direction, I think that there is clearly some dissatisfaction with the status quo going on. And there's an opening for, and especially after, you know, the 7 years we've had of this administration, there's an opening for Democrats to really chart a different direction. Now, in fairness, she's done this on some issues. Her universal health care plan was not only bold, it was courageous for someone like her with her track record on health care to come out with it, and, you know, I believe it was the best of the plans so far. But these elections are mostly about character. The presidency is our most intimate office. The president lives in our houses for 4 years, and that's the decision, the gut-level decision that most Americans make. Do I want this person to live in my house? And there's a coolness to her and an evasiveness that raises questions, at least in my mind, about, you know, whether the answer to that question ultimately is going to be yes.
So let's take all the what you complain about, the kind of cheap framing around the Obama candidacy away. Let's take that framing away and just look at Obama. Is he delivering the vision, the policy, the character that Americans who are maybe among that 70% who think we're on the wrong track are going to be drawn to?
Well, I think that he's delivering that his character is very presidential. His willingness, you know, in every stop when I'm out on the campaign trail with him, to tell audiences things that they don't want to hear. Let me give you a quick example.
Mm-hmm.
He lays out his global warming campaign pledge, you know, a cap and trade program to reduce carbon emissions.
Yep.
And so does everybody else. But then Obama says, look, I gotta be honest with you. This is going to cost the utility companies money to do this, and those costs are going to be passed along to you, the consumers, and there's probably going to be a spike in electricity prices. Now, I think Hillary Clinton or John Edwards or many of the others would rather slit their wrists than say something like that to the public, but it's true. He is, you know, expecting a kind of maturity from the public that may not exist. I don't think that he's been clear enough or bold enough in a lot of his rhetoric, but I do believe that in terms of character, he's displayed exactly what you do need in a president.
Harold Jackson, what do you say to that? He's showing that honesty, the ability to kind of step back and look at the big picture and be frank about it. Do you give him that or not, Obama?
Yes, I do. I think that he shows a great deal of character, and I think that that's clearly on display when he's in the small rooms, the smaller audiences, as Joe describes there. I think on the big screen of TV, it doesn't come across very well. I think that in terms of a mass audience, in terms of showing the invigoration needed to the masses to rise up and say that I want to vote for Barack Obama, he has not been able to do that. And I think that's going to be a real problem for him as we go along.
Jack, what about beyond Hillary Clinton, Barack Obama? I mean, there were lots of people speaking forcefully last night. Biden had his strong moment. Edwards, even Dodd. Do you see anybody else in this home stretch who could sort of jump in the small ring and make a real go at it?
Well, you know, I think if there's such a thing as the collective unconscious of Democrats, I think Joe Biden accessed it last night. I mean, for weeks now, Rudy Giuliani has been getting away with his statements, just, you know, slamming the Democrats categorically, Hillary specifically. And last night, Biden said what I think so many Democrats, at least from what I've been reading, want to hear someone say, I can hardly wait to get this guy on a stage. Bring him on. He's the least qualified candidate to run for president since George Bush. I only wish he had gone a step further and held Rudy's advisors, these people, as someone said, from the rubber room, against Rudy and said, this is a dangerous, listen to these dangerous people. This is a dangerous man, potentially.
Jack, let us hear a little bit of that. We've got Joe Biden here with those sharp words for Rudy Giuliani's candidacy.
The irony is Rudy Giuliani, probably the most underqualified man since George Bush to seek the presidency, is here talking about any of the people here. Rudy Giuliani. I mean, think about it. Rudy Giuliani, there's only three things he mentioned in a sentence, a noun and a verb and 9/11. I mean, there's nothing else.
Biden on the attack last night aimed at the GOP. Let's go to our listeners in Iowa City, Iowa. Damon, you're on the air. Damon, are you there, my friend?
Well, can you hear me?
Yes, loud and clear. What do you think?
Well, I just wanted to make an observation about, just to correct a factual point, your contributor from the Houston Chronicle claimed earlier that the race in Iowa is a little closer. In fact, according to the latest poll, which was conducted by the University of Iowa and released yesterday, the race, in fact, is a statistical tie. Both Senator Clinton and Senator Obama are polling within the margin of error in the upper 20s. So, in fact, the dynamic of the race, far from deeming Hillary Clinton already the nominee, is as fluid as it could possibly be in the sense that it's a tie.
So in Iowa, it's close. Do you think Obama helped himself last night or not, Damon?
I don't think anyone in Iowa saw that debate last night. I agree with your earlier contributor that the real dynamics are not these horse race dynamics, are not who scored this or that point or made this or that well-received joke in a debate, but rather what's going on on the ground. And one has to keep in mind that the number of caucus participants in years past suggests that the number of participants this year will be between 125 and 175,000 people. It's an extremely small number of people, all of whom have the opportunity to interact with these candidates in a very personal way on repeated occasions.
So that small room where Obama may do better may be more important than it looked on the screen last night. And Damon, thank you very much for that. Let's get another call right here again from Iowa. Linda, you're on the air.
Hi.
Hi.
I wanted to talk about the fact that, Hillary Clinton is doing something that I think is absolutely brilliant and crucial. She is doing a four-point balancing act for not just the Democratic primaries, but also for the general election. First of all, she has to be, in order to confront the daddy party, the Republicans,
yep,
the mama bear. I will protect you.
Okay.
And that means, for example, a recent poll showed that 52% of Americans favor bombing Iran. She can't be seen as being weak on that. But on the other hand, she can't be seen as, let's nuke them. So that's a tough balancing act right there. Second, she has to be the traditional mommy, you know, health care, education, all of the things that people generally look to the
Democrats. And your other two balancing points, Linda?
The other two, she has to be idealistic and honest. I think she is. No one in her husband's administration,
yeah,
was convicted of a crime while in office, whereas that's not true of Bush, that's not true of Reagan. And she has to be practical. I don't think the public is ready for boldness. Otherwise, they'd say, yes, cut off the funds for the war. But the public polling doesn't show that. Even, I suspect, most Democrats don't feel that. So she has to be...
Yep. Yeah, Linda, we've got the picture. Let me put it to you, Joe Klein. What about it? She's a front runner. She's got a balance. She's got a lot on her shoulders. Linda applauds that. Her critics last night were saying, as Jack did, that's trimming. That's dissembling. That's not being straightforward.
You know, look, politicians are politicians, and she's a politician. And you have to choose your shots. You have to choose your moments to show passion or to, to coin a phrase, an inconvenient truth. And she doesn't do that. I think that she leaves she's not, you know, as adept as her husband or even as, you know, some of the other people on the stage. She doesn't give the impression that she really, really passionately believes in many of the positions that she takes. Clearly she does on health care and several others. But, you know, the positions on Social Security and on the vote on Iran and on the driver's licenses were all, you know, very calculated, focus group sort of positions. And I think that that's not going to fly.
Jack, what do you think? Linda says, you know, we need a balanced front runner here because there are a lot of tensions and positions to balance in this country. And the argument being put against that last night was, no, we need vision. We need to break out. John Edwards called her the status quo candidate. You know, given what Democrats have said about the status quo, you can't get a much worse criticism than that.
No, but I think Linda was very shrewd in what she was saying, and it gives me a moment's pause. I mean, if you look at the polls, I think she's right. The public doesn't seem to want, you know, really dramatic action on Iraq, which saddens me. And that poll about bombing Iran really was frightening because the implications of that can't have been thought through by people. So, I mean, I think there is a lot of hesitation. On the other hand, this is a change election, and you know there's no incumbent running, no vice president running, and I think people, you know, look for that. They want that change. And you know, Joe said that Hillary was giving focus group answers, and I think that may be true to a point. But I saw a Peter Hart focus group earlier this year where the main issue about her was we don't trust her. And last night she showed why they might not.
Looking this hour at Democratic presidential contenders going after Hillary last night, from Obama to Edwards to Dodd and more, how she's holding up, who wins if she doesn't. Joe Klein from Time Magazine is here. Harold Jackson from the Philadelphia Inquirer. Jack Beatty's here as well. In last night's debate, Brian Williams of NBC News asked for Senator Dodd's views on Hillary Clinton's chances in the presidential contest.
Senator Dodd, you gave an interview to our local NBC station here today alluding to problems with Senator Clinton's national electability. What is the point you want to make on that score?
Well, first of all, I think electability is a very critical issue. Look, at the end of this process here, we need to have a Democrat in the White House come January 20th, 2009. That is essential, in my view, to get this country back on its feet again, to restore our moral authority in the world. It is a critical question. Whether it's fair or not fair, the fact of the matter is that my colleague from New York, Senator Clinton, there are 50% of the American public that say they're not going to vote for him. I'm not saying anything that people don't know already.
Senator Dodd last night talking about Senator Clinton's electability. Joe Klein, you were looking at how she comes to her positions, and what about Dodd's point?
Well, you know, the fact is, or at least, no, it's not a fact. It's my surmise.
Okay.
I have the feeling that what the focus group that Jack Beatty saw was saying was, we don't want focus grouped answers to questions. We want politicians who will occasionally tell us things that we don't want to hear. And I think that I really believe that the public, after 40 years of this manipulation by consultants and marketers, understand what market tested language sounds like, and that in this next election, unless you tell the folks something that they don't want to hear, that's inconvenient for them, you're not going to have very much credibility.
Then why Hillary leading in the national polls now? I mean, she sounds more like what you want to hear.
The race hasn't started yet. You know, these races go on so long, mostly because the candidates need the time to fundraise so that they put all these ads on the air in the last couple of weeks that really, you know, change the dynamic of it. And then there are a bunch of us fools who go around, you know, reporting on this for more than a year when people aren't really watching. But I've seen this happen time and time and time again. Iowa is like a British election. It's a 3 or 4 week election, and it's going to really start in about a month. And all the stuff that we've laid down in advance is essentially background noise. The public will make its mind up, based on their gut feelings about who these candidates are.
Well, for the first time to me, it sounded fresh again last night, and maybe that's testimony to the proximity to those first votes. Harold Jackson,
exactly right.
Harold, did you see someone on that stage who might, you know, break out of what Joe Klein, you know, kind of calls immaterial early posturing? Did you see somebody who could break to the fore?
Well, I saw that John Edwards did real well in the debate last night. I think that Senator Biden did well as well. But I think that Hillary did okay by herself. We have to remember that she was already a lightning rod. The problem with Hillary is that she had to show that she could be status quo. And I think she's done that. It may hurt her in the Democratic primary, but if she can get past that, it's appealing to the general American public as someone who is not such a lightning rod that will help her prevail.
Here's John Edwards last night on the honesty issue, the truth issue, and particularly looking at Hillary's vote on Iran and the Republican Guard.
I was surprised by Senator Clinton's vote. I'll be honest about that. And then I saw an explanation of the New York Times for her vote, which basically said she was moving from primary mode to general election mode. I think that our responsibility as presidential candidates is to be in tell the truth mode all the time. We should not be saying something different in the primary than we say in the general election.
John Edwards going after Hillary Clinton on who should say what when. Joe Biden went after her on that vote and the Kyle Lieberman amendment, really on the substance, saying just on its face, this was the wrong way to go. Its consequences and the vote there was 76-22 along with Hillary Clinton in the majority. But Biden saying, you know, this is just simply wrong and will have real world consequences.
The 75 of our colleagues don't understand. We have now driven underground every moderate in Pakistan and in Afghanistan. This literally puts Karzai as well as Musharraf in jeopardy. The notion here is it plays into this whole urban legend that America's on a crusade against Islam.
Joe Biden coming at it from a different angle there. Let's take a call from Gales Ferry, Connecticut. Deb, you're on the air.
Hi, Tom. How are you?
Very well. What did you see, Deb? What do you know?
Well, I want to make a statement more than my view about what happened last night.
Okay.
As a Republican who will be voting Democratic this year, next year, what I would like to say is I am sick of the criticism that each of the candidates displays to the other. I really think that criticism shows a weakness of character. And what you're trying to do is point out the other person's flaws so nobody takes a good look at your own. What I want to know is where they stand on the issues, why they voted the way they did. I want to know what they're going to do about education. I don't want to know what they think about why Hillary wants to do what she wants to do about education. I want to know what their health plan is. I don't want to know the criticism about Hillary's health plan. I want them to tell me why I should be voting for them as opposed to another candidate.
And you're speaking as a Republican, you say, who's going to vote Democrat. And why are you going to do that, Deb?
Because, number one, I am so terribly embarrassed at this present administration. I am hurt by the things that this administration has done to this country. We are a country of wonderful, intelligent, free-loving people. And this administration has denigrated that. It has taken away from the people who have the least voice.
Deb, we've got the perspective and we've got the question. Joe Klein, is Deb ever going to get what she wants? You know, where candidates stand and run down the issues?
Yep. I think that she's been pretty much getting it. I think that all this pressure on candidates to attack Hillary is coming from us, because from the press, because we want to have more blood and gore, entrails on the floor in Philly, and the press was just salivating over last night's debate. I think that, in fairness, especially to the Democrats this time, they have been very, very conscientious about putting out detailed, plans and discussing theirs. There is a place, in a political campaign to point out the substantive differences between your plan and your opponent's plan. In fact, that's a distinction that Bill Richardson made last night that I thought was quite good, that, John Edwards was getting into the question of whether you could actually trust Hillary. Richardson was saying, I disagree with her on this and this and this for these reasons. And I think that the public is more open to those sorts of arguments than the kind of the kind of vicious backbiting. Although I got to say this, that the public always says that they can't stand it when candidates go negative on each other. But then, when you ask people, what do you remember about the campaign? It's only the negative attacks.
Yeah. Let's hear New Mexico Governor Bill Richardson last night. Of course, the attacks had mounted up. They didn't all look to me like pure theater. I thought there was some important stuff going on that stage personally. But here Bill Richardson said, hey, let's lay off.
You know what I'm hearing here? I'm hearing this holier-than-thou attitude towards Senator Clinton, that it's bothering me because it's pretty close to personal attacks that we don't need. Do we trust her? Do we should take money from special interest? We need to be positive in this campaign.
Bill Richardson saying, let's be positive. But then Congressman Dennis Kucinich came out swinging not just against Hillary, but against much of the Democratic Party, when he was asked about the party's reluctance to regulate hedge fund profits or to bring in some more taxation there.
It's one of the reasons why the American people are so distressed with the current condition of the Democratic Party. They won't stand up to Wall Street with this over $1 trillion of unregulated capital with hedge funds. They won't end the war, as our party promised to do in the 2006 election. They won't stand up to the insurance companies, the for-profit insurance companies, by joining me in a not-for-profit system.
Jack Beatty, there's that kind of thoroughgoing critique saying, there's too much triangulating to the center here. Of course, Hillary Clinton gets that most often, but Kucinich painting everybody with that brush.
He is, and I thought Edwards also gave a good answer to that, where he said, the issue of taxing the hedge fund managers at the same level as their secretaries, this was raised by the Democrats, and then immediately the lobbyists descended on Washington, and the money that was spent down there, and Harry Reid deep six the idea, and I think the public, if they didn't know that specifically, they have seen in general what this Democratic Congress has done, which has in vital respects retreated from the promises it made. Now maybe it overpromised, but I don't remember anything, frankly, as shocking or as or that exemplified more the corruption of money what money has done to politics than this hedge fund business. I mean, this wouldn't have happened absent all that money, and it's a disgrace when you think that 25 families, you get $5 billion out of them.
Let's go to Susan in Ames, Iowa. Again, hi, Susan, you're on the air.
I thought that last night was interesting on a number of levels, and some of it have been touched on.
Mm-hmm.
I do think that it was time to point out some differences, that Edwards did a good job in that, and the inconsistencies with what Hillary says and her past votes should be something that people are made aware of, and that she can't probably deliver change, that she does continue with the status quo. I also thought Senator Dodd made some really interesting points. He talked about sentencing reform, which nobody seems to have talked about prior to that, in addition to licensing. And when he talks about constitutional right restoration and clean elections, those are things that are really important. I think Biden did a good job as well. And Obama, while he is very solid in his character, sometimes flat in his delivery.
Susan, on the basis of those issues and maybe those character perceptions, do you still see it as a wide-open contest in Iowa?
I do. We have about 87% here who are still undeclared. And I think from talking to the hundreds and hundreds of people I seem to in a couple weeks' time, I think there's going to be some real dynamics. I find a lot of people support Biden. A lot of them are supporting Dodd. They just haven't come out yet. And certainly a lot more for Edwards than maybe the polls right now.
So they're in there listening issue by issue and making their own judgments, and we're glad for that. Susan, thanks for your call. Let's get another Susan from New Haven, Connecticut. Susan, you're on the air.
Hi, Tom.
Hi.
I just wanted to defend Hillary's answer to the last question, the one about the driver's licenses for undocumented immigrants.
Mm-hmm.
I don't believe that she was triangulating, as was said in the debate.
Okay.
I believe that she was taking a stand as if she were a leader who had to make a decision the way Spitzer had to. It was a very leader-like decision in that she doesn't want to actually do this. She doesn't want to actually give these driver's licenses, but the situation demands it. I don't think that's triangulating. I think she's simply saying it's not the best solution, but it's the solution we have for the moment.
A candidate speaking, you say, like a leader. Let us listen to that, Susan, where Tim Russert asked Hillary Clinton to explain where she stood on Eliot Spitzer's policy on giving illegal immigrants driver's licenses.
Well, what Governor Spitzer is trying to do is fill the vacuum left by the failure of this administration to bring about comprehensive immigration reform. We know in New York we have several million at any one time who are in New York illegally. They are undocumented workers. They are driving on our roads. The possibility of them having an accident that harms themselves or others is just a matter of the odds. It's probability. So what Governor Spitzer is trying to do is to fill the vacuum.
Joe Klein, Hillary Clinton having it both ways or doing what a leader has to do?
Absolutely. You know, she was, it was like Bill Clinton's famous statement about the first Iraq war, the Gulf War, saying that he would have voted with the majority, but he understood the views of the minority. She was saying that she understood what Spitzer was doing, but then when Russert asked her, do you support it, she said, well, I didn't say that. Look. Let me just say about Hillary Clinton. She has some tremendous strengths as a candidate and as a politician. She's better informed on national security matters than any person, any other candidate in the Democratic field. You know, she's strong, she's solid, she ain't going to get crazy on you. But I think that this kind of calculating, too cautious by about three quarters, too clever by about seven-eighths behavior is costing her now.
Harold Jackson, in part, it seems to boil down to whether people feel there's a crisis and they want change from that perspective, or, you know, they want change, but in the context of stability. Hillary, maybe it's advantageous to her, but she seems to kind of project that, well, okay, we'll change, but, you know, in a kind of stable way. Where do you think the country's going to lean?
It's hard to tell. As people want change, but they don't want dramatic change. I think that's what's really being shown here. I think that the reluctance of the Democratic Party to be as bold as the public said it should be when they won the midterm elections is a reflection of the fact that they've gone back home to their constituencies and found that we can't be too bold. I think Hillary Clinton's candidacy reflects that. She's very cautious in some of her answers, but if you listen to the details, it's not that she's really wrong. It's that her answers are very complex. Is that going to be enough to win her the election? I don't know. It's going to depend on who she's running against.
What do you say, Jack?
I think, yeah, who she's running against. I mean, I think the issue that they will use against her was on display last night, just what we've been talking about, that, you know, she doesn't speak as plainly, as straightforwardly as Susan in Iowa, who just laid it out so clearly. Mm-hmm. Hillary doesn't do that.
Well, there it was on display once again. And maybe, Joe Klein, you're right. Now we really get into it. We're glad everybody in Iowa is listening closely and gets that close proximity, same in New Hampshire, and right on around the country as the polls unfold. I'm grateful to each of you for being with us this hour. Joe Klein with Time Magazine joining us from New York today. Joe, thanks a lot for being here.
My pleasure.
Harold Jackson at the Philadelphia Inquirer. Great to have you, Harold. Come again.
Thank you for the invitation.
And Jack Beatty, great as always. Thanks for being here.
Thank you.
I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point.